Tonight's scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 24 through 26. If you're using the Bibles under the bench, this can be found on page 858. Again, that's Matthew 10, 24 through 26. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant be like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known.
You know, we need some good role models in our world, don't we? I would say that we need some good young men and women to put forth a good godly example in our world today. We see in the scriptures various examples where God is encouraging Christians to follow the example of other either mature Christians, and ultimately the road leads back to Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 16, also in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul would encourage and urge those saints in Corinth, imitate me as I imitate or follow the example of Jesus Christ. He would, in his letter to those Christians there in Philippi, in Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 17, once again remind them of the very same thing. He says, brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. He said there's Christians who are living the Christian life, they're behaving as they should, they're faithful unto God, and we want you to pattern yourself after us. It's a good example. It's a godly example. The passage that Gary just read for us there in Matthew chapter 10. And I'm not knocking the acronym. I get it. Years ago, you remember that kids would always wear those What Would Jesus Do bracelets or necklaces. And that's fine. I'm good with that. If that reminds you to be like Jesus, you know, go for it. But literally, when you look there in Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 24, that's what we're seeing. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master, Jesus would say. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. And then Jesus would go on and point out to his disciples, look, they're calling me some bad names, Beelzebub, so don't be surprised if I'm persecuted and I suffer because you're like me. Guess what? You can connect the dots. You're going to suffer too. You're going to be persecuted as well. But the heart of that whole thing there is Jesus is saying, you need to be like me. I think you would agree that our ultimate model that we are called to follow is Jesus. Mark reveals in the first chapter of what I call the Jesus model. And you have your Bibles tonight. We're just going to look at some passages there in Mark chapter 1 that I believe emphasize and articulate why Jesus is our model. First of all, brethren, one of the things I want you to notice, as Mark begins writing this, and he's talking about John the Baptist and John's role, John never intended to be the man and present the plan to have folks follow him as far as the be-all, end-all. When Jesus came into the picture, he understood, here's the man, and he's got the plan. You need to follow him. Not too many lessons ago, you remember we had pointed that very thing out, that John's own disciples were having a conflict, it seemed, within themselves. That Jesus' disciples, Jesus is making more disciples than you are. They're baptizing more than you are, or we are. And that's okay, John says. He must increase, I must decrease. John got it. There in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, it says, it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. He was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens departing and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, and whom I am well pleased. Why was God pleased with Jesus? Could it be that Jesus was doing exactly what God wanted him to do? He's doing exactly what I told him to do. Brethren, if anyone could have given God a pushback on baptism, Jesus could have. Think about it. He didn't need to be baptized for sin. It was an act of obedience that God expected and required of Jesus Christ. Now listen, if Jesus doesn't get a pass, now I'll just gonna let you connect the dots here. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, listen to what he said, the time is fulfilled. What time is fulfilled? Well, you go back and you look in the Old Testament and you see that that was a period, a time that God had set things in motion, and God's people had learned a lot about God and about themselves through that time. And one of the things that they learned was this, you know what, we're not perfect. And it doesn't matter how many animal sacrifices we make, it just cannot soothe the conscience, and it cannot make us right with God. God had a plan, didn't he? You see, God had been telling mankind about that plan since the beginning of time. The redemption plan. Redeeming man from the sins through Jesus Christ. Read the prophets, church. And Jesus is saying, guess what? That time is fulfilled. Lloyd, what was it you would say, Carolyn would say when she get out of that truck? I'm here. That's what Jesus is saying, isn't it? I'm here. And it's time to preach and teach the kingdom of God. Here I go again. Throwing confetti. Here goes, see this? This is what happens when you put on a few extra pounds. Things just want to fall off and start flying like Captain Caveman. Hold on just a minute here. Fix myself up. So, Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist. And the point that I want you to see immediately from the get-go with regards to the Jesus model is Jesus got busy quickly. He got busy quickly. Because you see him go from this point to finding four fishermen who fished for fish, and their lives would drastically change when they would meet Jesus, and then they would become fishermen of men. They would go save souls. He would immediately go out and make disciples. Isn't that interesting that Mark records no birth announcement, no manger scene, no wise men? For him, the good news starts with John the Baptist preaching and Jesus jumping immediately right into the ministry. He gets to work. He gets to work. Right after Jesus' baptism, we see him full throttle going at it. Sadly, too many after their baptism say, I've done what's expected of me. It's time to rest. Do we look at that moment in our lives after we're converted to Christ, brethren? We become Christians as the time. Let's get busy. Let's jump into this thing, because this is the model that Jesus gives us. This is not only the model that Jesus gives us, this is the model that we see of every Christian when they're converted to Jesus Christ. We oftentimes see the description of a baby who's craving his or her mother's milk. What happens when that baby's craving that milk? They grow. They grow. And boy, do they. Jesus wasted no time beginning his ministry, church. I pray that we understand the value of time, because it moves so rapidly. Oh my goodness, it moves so quickly. You know what, I'll be honest with you, it just seems like yesterday when I started preaching for this congregation. And I would say that it probably feels that way with the elders as well. Time's flying. It's just going so fast. Dawn, it just seems like yesterday when you and Rich McKinney showed up at a church in Millersburg, Ohio. I called them Joshua and Caleb. Spies they were.
It worked.
It worked. But time flies so fast, church. We just cannot waste any time. We cannot waste any time. Because I'll tell you what, when we waste time, we spend most of our time living with regret. When we realize we haven't done the things that are important, that really matter, that God has called us to do, we live with regret. Let's get busy. Another image that we see here that Mark shares with us in Mark chapter 1 and verse 21 is, then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he, that is Jesus, entered the synagogue and he taught. And they were astonished at his teaching. He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet, come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, it came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For what authority he commands even the unclean spirits that they obey him? And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. This wasn't uncommon for Jesus. This wasn't uncommon for any of his disciples, especially those that were Jewish Christians. Many times we see the Apostle Paul going into synagogues first and reasoning with the Jews, but also making himself available unto Gentiles. Here's Jesus. The Jesus model is this. He goes into the synagogue. He's no doubt teaching them. We see that. He's teaching, he's preaching, he's sharing God's word in an authoritative fashion. Would you have loved to have sat at Jesus' feet? I would have. I'm telling you, he is definitely one of those speakers, and you've heard that expression before. Man, you know, sat down and heard a sermon, and next thing you know, a whole hour had passed. It only felt like I was there 10 minutes. Jesus was a powerful preacher. But a safe place the synagogue is. You go into the synagogue and you think, man, I can walk into, if I can use this term, I can walk into God's house. And I can be in God's house and we can open up God's word and we can sing and we can preach and we can teach and all is good. Not on this day. Not on this day. Who's in the synagogue? A demonic. An unclean spirit. Jesus run from the problem. He didn't run from it. He addressed it. You see, church, if Satan... If we're foolish enough to think that we've stood firm, he can't get me out there. I'm going to tell you something. He'll make his way in here to get you. He'll make his way in here to get you. As a matter of fact, this is a great place for Satan to make his way. So he's confronted with this demonic spirit, and Jesus addresses the problem. He doesn't run from it. He doesn't pretend like, oh, just pretend like he's not over there. Maybe he'll just go away. I don't want to look at him. He's scary. The model that we see throughout the first century church, now I got to tell you something. I don't like problems. I don't like turmoil. I don't go look for problems. I don't know why. Problems have a way of finding me all the time, but I don't go look for it. But problems arise, and it needs dealt with. In Acts chapter 3, that man that was laying there at the gate there at the temple and he's begging for alms. And you remember Peter and John. Peter heals the man in the name of Christ. And the man is leaping and jumping and praising God throughout the temple. And no one could deny that great miracle. Peter and John, you remember there in Acts, in chapter 4, you know, they are brought before the Sanhedrin. And you can almost see the discussion going on there with these Jews. What are we going to do? I mean, we can't deny this miracle. This guy has been laid here at, we use the verbiage, a church bomb, the terminology, he's a church bomb. He's been there since he's been a kid. And we've watched him grow up a church bomb. And so we can't say, oh no, it's not him. Verse 18 of chapter 4 in Acts. So they called them, that is Peter and John, they called them, they commanded them to not speak or to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's their way of saying, go pound sand. We talked about the church there at Corinth this morning. When Paul was saying, there's something really wrong going on there. There's sexual immorality that's even kind of embarrassing to be spoken of out into the Gentile world. And you all seem to be puffed up about this and proud of this fact, but look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians in chapter 5. For indeed, I indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged as though I were present him who has so done this deed in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you are gathered, the church, you're gathered together along with my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Paul didn't say, you know what, I realize there's sexual immorality that is going on there in the church, and let's just hope it gets better. Let's just hope it calms down. Maybe something will happen along the way that will get this man's attention, and it's okay, just let them do what they're going to do. Let them live in sin. Is that what he says? He says, we got to deal with it. We got to confront this problem. When you don't confront problems, problems get bigger. And they get worse. That's the Jesus model. And serve others gladly. Going back to Mark, in verse 29, it says, now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came, and he took her by the hand, and he lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases. And he cast out many demons. And he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. The Jesus model is this, church. Serve others gladly. Get busy quickly. Confront problems directly. Serve others gladly. One of my favorite songs growing up as a teenager was Make Me a Servant. Make me a servant, Lord. Make me like you, for you are a servant. Make me one too. Beautiful song. Beautiful song. You know, Jesus was pressed, hard pressed on every side. And again, getting back to this time thing, he knew that his time was limited. And here's, you know, Peter, his mother-in-law, she's got a fever. She's very ill. The scriptures tell us they told Jesus about her at once, immediately. What did Jesus do? I'll get to her. And the only time we ever see really a time where Jesus was just kind of postponing things was with Lazarus. You remember that. But there was a point behind that. You remember the point was the fact that Jesus realized that through Lazarus' death and Jesus raising him from the grave again, that people would truly understand, oh, only God's Son can do this. But here he is. He goes and he serves. The whole city started bringing sick people to Jesus. And those who were demon-possessed. I don't have time for this, people. Had a busy day. Y'all just need to go home. Come back tomorrow. And we'll address your needs then. It's not what we see. He serves them gladly. The Jesus model is this, folks, is that God puts before us opportunities, and sometimes, let's just be honest about it, they're at the most inconvenient time for us, aren't they? to serve. Poor Vince. I got to tell one Vince. I know he doesn't want me to, but I got to tell one him. Vince is a servant. So I got to take the kids to Fort Hill Friday night. Got to told Kathy, I said, I'll be home at 4:30, got to be out the door at 4:40. Now, that's the way Scott Spencer works. That and it drives my wife crazy. Because she's more on like Indian Standard Time. We'll get there when we get there. You know? It drives me crazy. I'll be there at 4:30. I got to leave at 4:40. Walk in the door. Trey, you got your stuff? Yep. Okay, go put it out in the van. Let's go. Let's get moving. She goes to turn on the hot water, and there's no hot water. I thought the storm had passed because a little over a week ago, we just had a plumbing team in there jackhammering up our slab and repairing pipes. But oh no, it's not over with. Kathy says, I don't have any hot water. I'm like, man, Four Hills just not down the road. Hopefully it's just a pilot light. This? Yeah. Man, I need you to come over. I not a problem, Scott. Comes on over. You know when you get to Fort Hill, you don't have any service in Fort Hill. Okay? On your phone, there's no service. I just want you to know that. So after I get away and out in towards civilization, after I'm done, my phone goes, ding! I'm like, oh, and it's a message from my wife that says, call me. And I could tell it was, call me. You know, it was like, call me. You know, I'm like, oh no. So I call her, and I hear in the background, and it was, my goodness, 8:45. This guy, bang, bang, bang with a hammer, trying to get that hot water heater out of the house. I appreciate that service. There's so many good servants here. We are blessed, brethren. We're blessed to have servants like that. And these godly servants that serve gladly in this congregation, let's take note of their example and follow their pattern. Daniel, y'all remember Daniel, 6'7" Daniel? He went with me. Daniel went with me. I'll get him in here eventually. You just chill out. But anyway, Daniel went with me. And Daniel said, well, if it makes Vince feel any better, and of course Vince wasn't feeling bad, just tell him his treasure's in heaven for doing such a thing. And I know that's the way servants are here, Archie. Our treasure's in heaven. Finally, the Jesus model is this. Be disciplined in your dedication continually. After we see these folks coming to Jesus, I want you to notice in verses 35 and following, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out, that is Jesus, and he departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and when they found him, they said, and I've got this highlighted in my Bible, I love this, everyone is looking for you. Church, our world would be a better place if souls were looking for him today. Everyone's looking for you, Jesus. He says, let us go into the next town that I may preach there also, because for this purpose, this reason, I have come forth. But did you see, before Jesus went out and charged the battlefield to take on Satan, he stepped back and he spent time with God to be charged up by God. He prayed to God. He was very disciplined, very dedicated in what he did and his approach to dealing with the problems that we face every day. Do you begin your day with a prayer? I think that's a great example right there, why we should. Before we step out of the house and into the world, just take a minute to pray to God. And then with that, Jesus gains a sense of understanding of why I'm here, what I'm supposed to do. This is the reason I have come forth, he said. The Jesus model. Mark reveals it right there in chapter 1. I want to encourage you tonight. There's one in our crowd tonight that hasn't obeyed the gospel. I want you to know that God loves you, and He has invested His very best, so you can know Him and have a home with Him in heaven for eternity. He has given His one and only Son, not one of many sons, one and only Son, to die on a cross for your sins. The Jesus model is this when it comes to conversion. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. I want to encourage you to do that tonight. Maybe you have. Maybe you've fallen away. You need the prayers of the church. You've sinned and you want to return to God. God loves you. And He wants you to return. If you feel you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward. Together we stand and we sing.